before we even get here, God's got a plan and he's got a purpose, and we get to be a part of that. We get to catch up with what he's doing. And one of the reasons I say that is the way that Pete began the meeting this morning. You can't smoke John. It's a good one. You can't smoke John. So we're going to be reading from the book of John this morning. And we're going to be focused right in there in chapter 18. And the other thing that Pete said was about when the Lord Jesus said, all authority. It's right, isn't it, Pete? All authority. All authority, he said, has been given to me. That's Jesus. All authority. We're going to have to get this morning. The one to whom we come. All authority has been given to him. So, we're going to be reading from the book of John. We're going to be thinking on that subject. Me and Pete didn't prepare that collaboration, but it was prepared. And I just want to highlight that point for us, because it's got to be encouraging on its own. God is at work, and we get to be a part of what he's doing. And you can't smoke John. So we're going to, I'm loving that. We're going to read from that in a minute. Here we go. Look at this. I see the Lord. We've got to just stop. I see, this is where we're going, right, this morning. I see the Lord. The one that I see is the Lord. He is exalted. He is high and lifted up. He, Jesus, is the Lord. I see the Lord. He's become real to me. I see the Lord forever glorified, exalted and lifted high, and all of the kingdom, it cries, you are the Lord. Amen. We can have some of that. Amen. Amen. You, Jesus, you are the Lord. Oh, man. Get involved with this morning. When we see that he is king, it changes everything. It changes everything. It's all right, be excited from the beginning this morning, because it doesn't get any better than this. He is the Lord. We sing about this. He is the Lord. He reigns on high. There is no one higher than him. He is the Lord. Oh, Jesus. He is the Lord. He reigns on high. Wonderful, wonderful King. All authority has been given to him. Thanks, Lewis. We can take that down. We're going to really continue with the same thing that Johnny spoke about last week, but really has been coming out in different ways over the last few weeks. That's because the Lord's wanting to exercise us along a certain line. So there's a bit of a theme going on. And he's deliberate. Did you notice? Sometimes we think we don't have much of a theme, but he has a theme, he has a plan, and I'm hoping we're following him. What I want to talk about this morning, are you here? We've got to get real, haven't we? We've got to get real. We've got to get real. We've got to stop coming to church, and we've got to start, I'm not saying we're not doing this, but I'm just encouraging us, and we've got to be coming to Jesus. As often, all of the time, but as often as we come together on a Sunday morning, let's be doing this. We're coming to Jesus. I'm not coming to church. You can't do that, by the way. Think about it. You can't come to church, because we know it in the building. You can't come to church. We can gather together as church, and we can bring glory and honor to the King. But as we come together this morning, we've just got to get real. We've got to get real with Him. Part of what I mean by that is, when we come to Jesus, don't you find, as often as you come to Jesus, that you are changed by Him? Amen, Matt. Yes. We do. We do. We do. We cannot do otherwise. When we come to the One who is the Lord, the One who is King, that One, not any other one, but that One who is in all authority, when we come to Him, when we are in the presence of the Son of God, do you know what happens? He changes us. Hallelujah for that. Aren't you happy about that? I am. Man, I want to be changed. And I want to be changed. And I want to be changed from one degree of glory to another. I want to go on all of my life and all of eternity being changed into His likeness. It's a bit noisy this morning. Don't worry. I want to be changed. We must want to be changed as we come to the King. We are coming to the King. Oh, if we could just get this one point. We are coming to the King this morning and we want to be changed. Amen? Amen. We want to be changed. Well, let me tell you, that's real. That's real. This is not theological abstract. It's real that we come to the King and He changes us. Oh, bless God for that. He changes us. Man alive, I'm excited about that. I'm grateful for that reality. We come to the King and He changes us. Are you ready for change? Come on. Oh, yeah, there's one. Are you ready for change? Yes, I'm ready for change. I'm vulnerable to God. I'm vulnerable to God this morning. Oh, I want to be. It's so easy. It's so easy to get a bit crusty in the inside, a bit hard, a bit resistant, a bit kind of used to stuff. And He comes along and He just shows us another glimpse of Himself and He changes us. It's enough this morning. It's enough just for a glimpse. If all we get this morning is a glimpse, it's enough. That tiny shard of light, it's enough to change you. Are you vulnerable this morning? Yes. I want to talk a bit about the act which changes the life. The act which changes the life. Now you're going to have to come with me and see what I'm on about. The act which changes the life. This is a big one. Hope we're listening. This is a game changer. The act which changes the life. John chapter 18, we're going to read first 11 verses. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn here. John chapter 18. And Jesus has been praying. He's been talking to His Father. And we're just going to read from the beginning. He says, when Jesus had spoken these words, He went forth with His disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which He entered with His disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying Him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with His disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon Him, went forth and said to them, whom do you seek? That's a big question. Whom do you seek? They answered, Jesus the Nazarene. And he said to them, I am he. And Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. And so when he said to them, I am he, they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore, again, he asked them, whom do you seek? And they said, Jesus, the Nazarene. And Jesus answered, I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these go their way to fulfill the word which he spoke of those whom you have given me. I lost not one. Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. And the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it? This is a wonderful passage of scripture. And Jesus, we see this, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. Cohort, Roman cohort. That's about 600 fellas, apparently. And that's a lot of people with weaponry. 600 soldiers, however many it was, there was a lot of them, with weapons, and they were coming to arrest the Son of God. It's just like, whose side do you want to be on in this story? There's Jesus, and there's 600 soldiers, and Judas, the betrayer. And they're coming, and they're coming to find Jesus, and they're coming to arrest him. This is their intention. And he was in the garden, and a small army had been sent from the chief priests and the Pharisees, the religious bunch. They had sent this cohort to arrest Jesus. And Judas was there to betray him, and Jesus, he knew they were coming. He knew they were coming. It'd get pretty obvious, wouldn't it, at some point. There's like a small army coming for you. It's going to become apparent, isn't it? And and Jesus, he went to them. They're coming for him. And he went to them. He went to them. And Jesus went to meet them and to ask them, who are you seeking? Who are you seeking? Who is the one that you're looking for? He knew the answer to this question. But he goes to them. And in a sense, if I can put it like this, it's not quite the right word, but in a sense, on the offensive, he went to meet them. The army's coming. And they're coming with their weapons and their torches, and they're coming to arrest this one man. I don't know how you would feel in that moment, but Jesus went to them. He went to them. And it's just like, there wasn't fear. There wasn't fear. He went to them. Man alive. And he said to them, who are you looking for? Who are you seeking? And they said they were looking for Jesus of Nazareth. And it's like, they didn't have any idea what they were saying. They didn't know what they were saying. They didn't know who it was that they were looking for. Who are you seeking? Who are you looking for? And they said, well, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. But they didn't know what that meant. They didn't know what that meant. And Jesus said to them, the text there really where it says, I am he, Jesus just makes a statement. So he's come forward to these people and they've come in aggression against him. They've come to arrest him. And he steps up to them and he just says this, I am. It's the name that God gave. I am. I am. that was enough. That's all he said. They came to arrest him, and he said, he steps up, I am. There was so much in that. And he said, I am he. Let's say this. I am he. I am the one through whom the worlds were formed. I am he. Are you getting this? That's who I am. I am he. I am the one through whom the worlds were made. I am he. The one who speaks order from chaos. I am he. I am. I am he. I am the one who heals the sick and casts out demons. I am he. I am he. They didn't know who he was. And he's, this is self-declaration in a sense. I am he. I am the one. This is Jesus. I am the one who tears through the temple enraged for my Father. I am he. I am. I am. I am he. The one who in a moment, we read this in the, about this account, I am the one who in a moment could unleash legions of angelic armies. I am he. I am that one. I am. I am he. I am the one, here it is, who has all authority. And he steps forward in that authority. And he says, who are you seeking? Jesus of Nazareth. And he says, I am. I am. And in response to that, involuntarily, in response to that, that army, that aggressive soldiers, these were Roman soldiers. They were trained, aggressive, self-controlled soldiers. And Jesus spoke and he said, and they drew back and they fell before him. Imagine the scene. They're in an olive grove in this pretty pleasant place. And Jesus had gone there to spend time with his disciples. He went there to pray and to have quiet time with the Father. And this 600 come and he says, so it's enough. Do you get this? And he just says, I am. And in response to who he is, they cannot but withdraw and fall down before him. This is the Christ. This is the Christ. He has all authority. This is the one that we come to. He has all authority. He's wonderful. It's wonderful to know him. It's wonderful to be rightly related to the one who has all authority. Every knee will bow before this one. And they fell before him. Incredible. Incredible. He said, I am he. And when Jesus spoke his name with such calm, and yet, absolute authority, there could only be one response. They step back and they fall. They fall before him. He'd just spoken. Can you see the power of the Son of God? Johnny was talking a bit about this last week. The power and authority of the Son of God. He has absolute authority. He is in authority. All authority has been given to him. To him. Wow. looks like steady. This is the one to whom we come. He has all authority and power. This is incredible, this thing. Jesus has just demonstrated in some way his power and authority. The people, in this sense, they've had no choice but to respond appropriately to that authority. And they've fallen before him. They've fallen before him. So he's just shown power. He's just shown power. The rest of this story, it's like a bit of a head scratcher. Think about what he's just done, who he's just declared himself to be, who he's just demonstrated himself to be. Jesus was not a victim of Roman aggression. He was moving with absolute clarity of purpose and obedience to his Father. In this setting, who do you think was calling the shots? Because let me tell you, it wasn't the Roman army. It wasn't. We've just seen that. It wasn't the Roman army. Jesus was in authority, even here, in the garden. And he moved in obedience to his Father. That's what was going on. He moved in obedience to his Father. He maintained authority even in this moment. He moved in authority. He was not a victim. If ever you think of Jesus being taken to the cross as a victim, he was not a victim. He moved in obedience to the Father. And this is where it took him. He moved in submission. He moved in obedience. Jesus Christ was not, is not a victim. Jesus allowed the soldiers, those same soldiers who have just fallen before him, Jesus allowed the soldiers to take him so as to fulfill the will of the Father. It was the will of the Father, what was happening. It was the will of the Father, and Jesus was moving in submission to the will of the Father. And in submission to the will of the Father, he moved in power and authority, and they fell down before him. That's the right response. This is what we're getting to. That's the response. Wonderful. Wonderful. It's ridiculous to me. Again, you read on and you see the responses of things that happen here. And it's ridiculous. After what they've just witnessed, Peter, we love him, Peter drew his sword. It's like, think about it. It's pathetic. In the true sense of the word. Jesus Christ has just in a word demonstrated power and authority over those that were coming against him. In real clear terms, that kind of moment slightly passes. Peter's getting his sword out. It's like, mate, I think you just missed the point. Man alive, what is he doing? He's going for his sword. It's like, Peter, did you not see what's just happened? What do you think your sword's going to do? Nothing. Nothing. Incredible. Incredible. It's equally incredible to me that later, just after this, the Roman soldiers, they bound him. They bound Jesus. And they took him away. Incredible. Jesus, I mean, think of it. What's just happened? Jesus, he allowed himself to be bound by these Roman soldiers. These ones that at a word fell before him. Jesus has authority even here. Absolute power. Absolute power. He allowed himself to be bound by those aggressors. Why? Because he moved in submission and obedience to the Father. That's why. They didn't take him by force. They took him by his submission to his Father. Can you see that? It's just like, at a word, they would fall before him. At a word, he could bring legions of angelic warriors to his aid. It's just like, what's a few ropes going to do in Peter's sword? It doesn't really cut the mustard, does it? It's mad. Jesus has authority. He has authority and he has power. Who is the question? Who are you seeking? Really, this morning, who are you seeking? Because if you're seeking Jesus, who is the Christ, this is who he is. And we sometimes can focus on all different aspects of him, and rightly so. But within that, this is the Christ. He has authority. He has power. This is the one that we're seeking. This is the one to whom we come. This is the one who changes a life in a moment. In a moment. Authority. Jesus has authority now. He has power now. Just in such calmness. Just with a word. Power. Change. This is the Christ. This is the annoying technology. Who are you seeking? If you are seeking this one this morning, this is what I want to get to. If you're seeking this one this morning, there's one response to him. Do you see this? I'm labouring this point. I'm doing it on purpose. There's one response to the Christ, to the one who is in authority. This morning, there's one response to the King. There is an act which changes a life. Do you know what it is? Watch this. This is the act which changes the life. I kneel. I submit myself. I kneel before the King. On the inside, I kneel before this one. That's the right response. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the one who moves with absolute power and authority. If you are seeking this one, there is only one right response. In Philippians 2 verse 10, we read, at the name of Jesus, every knee. That's a big one. Every knee shall bow. And every tongue confess that Jesus, this one, he is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee will bow, every tongue confess, one, that Jesus Christ, Jesus, he is Lord. In the moment of kneeling, bowing before him, that is a declaration of submission to the King, Jesus. He is Lord. He is Lord. My submission to him, what? Glory to God. There's a little continuation there. Bow my knee, confess that he is Lord, glory to the Father. Wonderful. Wonderful. This is the act which changes a life. And I've got about 10 minutes to give you an example of why that's true. So we're going to have a go. We're probably going to run out of time. How we respond to authority is key. Did you hear that? How we respond to authority is key. Now, when I say authority, I'm talking about Jesus. I'm talking about his authority. Absolute authority. How I respond to authority, it's key. It's key. It changes your life. It changes, it's changed my life. That's why this is real stuff. It changes your life. How you respond to the one who is king. He is Lord. How you respond to that. It's key. It's important. It's important. What I'm going to do now, I'm going to tell you a bit about my story. And I'm not preaching my experience. I'm telling you a bit of my testimony because it's a helpful, I think, example of what I'm on about. So I want us to get it. So I'll tell you a bit of my story. And this was at the heart of my own struggles, really. Here's a statement. Authority provokes rebellion. What do you reckon? Have a think about it. Authority, it provokes rebellion. So where there's authority, you come up against authority. If you're not in a right place to that authority, it's like a real dig, isn't it? It's just like authority. You come up against authority. And do you know what the natural man does? I'll tell you what my natural man does anyway. Come up against authority, my natural man. Yeah? You think so? Come on. Come on. You think so? It's just like, there's a reaction. There's a reaction. There was a reaction in me for a long time, essentially to authority. And there needed to come a time that through, there was an act which changed my life. So I'm using this as a picture. And but authority, it provokes rebellion. And in me, there was rebellion from the start. That's true of everybody. It just looks different in different people. Rebellion from the start. I would not submit. I made a point out of it, ridiculously so. But I would not submit to anybody. Just like a full stop. It was just like, you must be joking. To submit to another was ridiculous to me. It's like, I will not bow to you. I will not submit to you. I don't care who you are. I don't care where you've come from. You expect me to submit to you? Wasn't happening. And that was my story. I would always fight back. I would never back down. Submission was not an option. To me, I know this sounds a bit ridiculous, but to me, at the time, death could come before submission. It was strong. It's like, I will not. I will not submit. I will not bow. There is not a man on the planet who has authority over me. How ridiculous is it? That another human being could rightly have authority in that sense over another human being. To me, it was just like, you're having a laugh. What gives you the right, here it is, what gives you the right to tell me what to do? This gets right at the heart of sin, this. It does. What gives you the right to tell me what to do? And that just pervaded my entire life. It's like if somebody was going to come up against me and tell me what to do, that was going to go wrong because there was no submission involved. It wasn't happening. It wasn't happening. And I would not recognize authority. The idea that another man had any right to tell me what to do was ridiculous to me. My parents didn't know what to do with me. When I was just like, even pretty little really, and certainly when I was a teenager, they didn't know what to do. They went to church, and they were looking for help. And my dad went to church one day, a bit like this, and he just stood up in front of everybody, and it was like, "Can you help me? I've done everything. I've done everything. I don't know what to do with this boy. I don't know what to do. Can you help me?" He went to the elders. "I don't know what to do. Can you help me?" There wasn't an answer. There wasn't an answer. I would not submit to anybody. It's strong. Rebellion is provoked by authority. And it was true in me. And I would not yield to anyone, regardless of discipline. On the outside, or on the inside, I would not yield. When I was about, about 10, little boy. Izzy's 10, why is he? It's scary, this. Oh, so I was a little boy, primary school, and one day these kids, there was a few of them, and they all decided for some reason what we're going to do. We're going to get Matt and we're going to nick his shoes. Just think of it, primary school, little kids, we're going to nick his shoes. So there was quite a few of them, they pulled that off. And so at one point I managed to get up and they were kind of like starting to disperse. And I saw one lad and he had one of my shoes and he was running. He was running. And so it's just like I got up and it's just like I'm not having it. And I went after him. I went after him. I was just a little boy, but this is what's going on. This is what was going on. I got this kid, and I just was, got him. I got my shoe back. It's just like, this isn't happening, boys. I got my shoe back, and I got this kid, and I was just in a rage. I pushed him through a window. He cut his head badly. He had to go to hospital. The police come in. It's just a little boy. Little boy. I will not submit. I will not bow. This is in everybody. That thing there that provokes rebellion, it's in everybody until you bow. Have you identified it at any point? I reckon you might have done. It looks different in different people. You know, I know some people where they come across real kind of meek and mild. But you try and tell them to do something, and it's just like there's a lion coming out. It's just like, you ain't telling me what to do. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. It's in everybody. It's in everybody until it's dealt with. Until it's dealt with. And there's one way this is dealt with. It's in submission to the king. It's in submission to the king. So this was my story. This was going on. I'd believed in God all my life. All my life. I don't know why, but I'd believed in God all my life. I'd never doubted that God was real. He wasn't real to me, but I knew that God was real. And I would even defend his honor. But I did not know the one I was seeking, let alone how to respond to him. Johnny talked a bit last week. He was talking about being desperate. I was desperate. There was a rage in me, a storm I could not control, and there was an act which changed my life completely. Overnight, changed my life. It's simple, but it's profound in its impact. And if this hasn't been part of your story, I just want to offer it to us this morning. I really do, because this is a game changer. This is a game changer. There was a week, literally 1 week in my life, I've been going to, reluctantly going to church with my parents, new people, but I'd been getting into martial arts, and I just thought, I don't know God. I know he's real, but I don't know him. There's turmoil going on. I didn't know what to do. There's rebellion. There's anger. And it's just like, I don't know what to do. I can't make this real to me. It's not changing my life. I'm just hearing about it in other people. I was desperate for change, for something real to happen in my life. And there was only one place to find it. So anyway, I wasn't getting anywhere. I decided in this particular week, forget it. I'm not going to keep doing this. If I'm going to hell, I'm going to go to hell doing what I want. I'm just going to sack it all. I'm going to carry on getting into martial arts and I'm just going to do what I want. Do what I want. And you go, oh, God got me. In that week, I made that choice inside to go against God. And he got me. He got me. And one night, literally one night, I was on my own in my bedroom and I was just at the end of everything. And it was like one last ditch attempt of finding something that would heal my pain. And I cried out to God. I cried out to God. You gotta get there. Sometimes you can't live like this. I'll give it to you. But sometimes you've got to get there. And I cried out to God. You've got to cry sometimes from in here to God. And I knew intuitively what I needed to do in responding to God. If I was going to get anywhere, I knew what I had to do. And all of my life, I was 18 at this point, and all of my life, I had lived with this thing in me. It's just like, I will not bow. And Jesus, this one, the Christ, he said to me, bow to me. There is no one else in this sense that you can appropriately bow before. But this one, that's the only right response. It is the only right response. This is the Christ. He has all power. He has all authority. And we can choose how to respond. This is a miracle. We can choose how to respond to the Son of God. And literally, for the first time in my life, I physically did this. But in my heart, I bowed. I submitted myself to another. Man alive, that's a liberation there. That is a liberation. Until you come to the place where you will physically, perhaps, but internally bow to him, you won't get anywhere. Heads up. You won't get anywhere until you bow. Must bow. In submission, the right response to his authority is my submission to his authority. And it's key. It's key. Do you want to change? This morning, do you want to change? This is a game changer. If you want to change, this is it. This is a door to go through. Jesus Christ, in submission to him, we find release. We find liberty. I found that the storm that had raged all my life ceased in a moment. Submission to authority is the right response. Who are you seeking? Who are you seeking this morning? Because if you're seeking this one, bow. We don't hear much about this sort of stuff, do we? But this is the right response to authority. Bow. Submit. On the inside, to Jesus Christ, bow. There's lots of examples of this all the way through. But our response to the King is to kneel. It is through surrender that liberty and freedom come. Did you hear that? It is through surrender. That was true for me. So I surrendered. That was the first time. I've done it a lot since, but that was the first time. Surrender. It is through surrender that liberty and freedom come. A carefree life of joyful service, a carefree life, comes through surrender to the King, through submission. Submission to authority is the gateway to authority. To have authority spiritually, to have authority in your life, it is because you are in submission to His authority. It all turns on this relationship to Jesus Christ. And whether or not I will submit myself to Him, whether or not I will bow before the King or not, the alternative to that is to stand in defiance. Can you see that? There's not a middle option. We can bow before the King, or we can stand in defiance. But if we are going to move on with Him, we must bow. Have you ever knelt before the King? Have you? This is a real question. This is a real question, and I bring it to us really with gentleness, because I know it's key. It's key in your life. This is key in your life. Will you submit to Jesus Christ? Think for a moment, just for a moment, who He is. Who He is, and then answer that question. Will I submit to this one who in this moment has all authority has been given to Him? And then think of yourself. Will I submit to this one? It's just like, come on. This is the act which changes the life. Submission to Jesus Christ. Submission to Jesus Christ. This, if I can put it like this, this interaction, this dynamic with God, it's personal every time. We can't do this corporately. We can only do this individually. Individually. We can do it together, but we are individuals in this sense before Him, and I answer to Him myself. And I want to recommend it to us this morning. I'm going to pray for us. And if you want to pray with me, I invite you to do that. This is real. This isn't just a sermon. Even if it was that. This is real. This is the act which changes your life. Submission to Jesus Christ is the only right response. He is King. He is King. Is He your King? You can answer honestly this question. Is He your King? This will change your life in a moment. He has the power to radically change you on the inside, and this is key. Will you bow this morning? Will you bow? Will you bow? This is no theory. This is real. We can have been Christians, in a sense, for years, and in this way, not bound before the Son of God. So I want to ask you, we don't do this a lot, but I want to ask you this morning, would you like to bow? I don't know if you've done this